The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick. Hey
everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. It is June 24th, 2022, and boy, I'll tell you, you know, I'm just tickled today. We Christians don't get very many good news headlines. Roe v. Wade is overturned. I'm just so thankful. And now it's up to the states to decide what they want to do, and not having the imposition of the federal government overextending its bounds with bad law like Roe v. Wade. And I'm so happy that it happened. The leftists are going bonkers, and I find it interesting. There's been rumors of threats of violence, and it's interesting because they don't realize their own their hypocrisy. They want to kill the life in the womb, and then if you don't allow them to kill the life in the womb, they can be violent against you. Their hearts are so wicked to want to destroy the life in the womb, and it's bad news. So, anyway, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. And if you're new to this show, I'm a Christian apologist. I defend the Christian faith, and we talk about all kinds of topics because the Bible talks about all kinds of topics. The Bible's true, and you need to trust in Jesus Christ, God in flesh. And if you don't trust in what he's done on the cross, then you'll die in your sins. If you don't believe that he's God in flesh, you will die in your sins. This is what the scriptures teach. Baptism is not necessary for salvation. And going to church is not necessary. Tithing is not necessary. Taking the Eucharist is not necessary for salvation. You should go to church. You should get baptized, etc. But these are not the things that save us. We're justified by faith alone in Christ alone. And I stand on the truth of God's word. Roman Catholicism is apostate, false religion. Mormonism is not Christian at all. Jehovah's Witnesses is not Christian at all. Christian Science is false. Islam is a false religion started by a false prophet. And Buddhism, Confucianism, Jainism, all of them, if you adhere to them, they will lead you to eternal destruction. You can only find salvation through God's work, not man's. God's work in the person of Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for our sins, in his body on the cross. That's what you must affirm. It is him in whom you must trust. And if you don't do that, then you will face the consequences of your own judgment and your own denial of his sufficiency for your forgiveness. And you'll face God on your own. And that judgment upon you will be terrible. And so we find solace in what Christ has done. We find comfort in what he has done. And so as a Christian, I tell you, and I urge you, come to Christ, not come to a church, not believe in a prophet. Go to Jesus, talk to Jesus, spend time with Jesus, pray to Jesus, ask Jesus to forgive you. And that's what you need to do. Nevertheless, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Anthony from Virginia. Anthony, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. Yesterday, you were talking to someone who called in asking about Jesus' name being Yeshua. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to ask you, would you acknowledge that Jesus' real name was actually Yeshua? I don't think it's a matter of salvation, but that was his real name.
No, I go by the Greek, Jesus.
Okay. So, do you think when Jesus was talking to someone, they said the Greek name or his Hebrew name?
What was his Hebrew name?
Yeshua.
How do you know that?
Because, well, in English, his name would be translated Joshua, but the closest you can get to that comes from the Hebrew Yeshua, and all the people in that area at that time spoke Hebrew or Aramaic. So Jesus was not communicating to people in Greek, and they were not communicating to him in Greek. So they would have been calling him Yeshua.
So so his real name is Yeshua?
Joshua, Yeshua, yes.
Okay, do you have any documentation for that?
Well, the fact that he lived in a Hebrew why would people call him by a Greek name?
Okay, I didn't ask you that. I asked, where's the documentation that his name is Yeshua?
Well, it probably would have been in the Hebrew versions of the gospel, which are lost to history, unfortunately, but...
Okay, hold on, one thing at a time. So you don't have any documentation to demonstrate that his Hebrew name was Yeshua, right? You don't. So where are you getting this?
That's just logical. He was born in a Hebrew society, and they spoke Aramaic and Hebrew.
And so here's a question. Is the word Jesus the equivalent of Yeshua in Greek?
It is, but that's not what they would have been calling him.
Okay, where's the documentation for it?
It would probably be in the Hebrew versions of the Gospels, which are, as I said, lost to history. But there's evidence they existed.
So why would then the Greek translator, Matthew, who was Jewish, why would he say that the angel said that he'll call his name Jesus in Greek? Why would they do that?
Because Jesus or Yesu is a Greek transliteration of the Hebrew name Yeshua.
It is?
So it is. So
it couldn't have just been Jesus in or Jesus in Hebrew. It was a transliteration. See, I'm just having a little bit of time with you because you don't have any documentation of what you're saying. You're just inferring it. That's all you've got. Now, so let me ask you, were all the New Testament documents written in Hebrew?
Apparently.
Okay. So was Ephesians written just in Hebrew? To the Ephesian people?
The Gospels. No. The Gospels.
Okay, so the New Testament, was all the New Testament written in Hebrew?
No, just probably the Gospels.
So then when we go to Ephesians 1, and it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, is that correct?
Well, what did he write in the Greek? Did he write the... Well, I'm guessing the name Yesu is a transliteration of the Hebrew name Yeshua. So Greek, it's just like, you know, my name is Anthony, but in Spanish it's Antonio. Okay, if someone was writing a story about me in Spanish, they'd say Antonio, but people call me Anthony. That's what's happening. So my real name is Anthony, but for...
Okay. So here's my question. So Ephesians, was it written in Hebrew or was it written in Greek?
It was probably written in Greek.
Okay, so if it's written in Greek, then it has Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, Jesus, in the Greek name. Why would he do that?
Because he's writing in Greek.
Okay, so Mashiach is anointed one, right?
Right. It's in the
Christ. So why is it that he didn't say Mashiach, Yeshua? Because you can actually pronounce those and do a transliteration in Greek.
Well, the thing is, Greek is the Christos is the exact Greek equivalent of the word Messiah. So they're writing in Greek. That's the whole thing. They're not
okay. So you're admitting that Paul called him Jesus in his Greek name.
Okay, if he had been writing in Hebrew, he probably would have said Yeshua.
So you don't know. But you do know that Paul called him Jesus, specifically, as an example, writing to the Ephesians. Which
Right. So, but just logically, we can infer.
So here's my question. Is his name Jesus?
In Greek, it is Jesus. In Hebrew, which is what...
It's okay to call him Jesus, then, isn't it?
Absolutely. I'm not saying it's wrong to call him Jesus, but he would have, when he was talking to people, they would have been calling him Yeshua in his language.
How do you know that?
Because he because all the scholars pretty much agree that he spoke, Jesus would have been speaking Aramaic, and everyone around him would have been speaking Aramaic.
Okay.
That was his native language.
Okay. So, find the documentation that that was the pronunciation of whatever he was called in the Hebrew. And how do you know it wasn't a variation of something slightly different? If you want to say it's Yeshua,
well,
and if that's what it had to be was Yeshua, how do you know it wasn't something Yahshua? How do you know it wasn't pronounced like that or some variation? If you want to be that much of a stickler about how it's pronounced in the Hebrew, that's why I keep asking you, show me the documentation. But there isn't any. So the best you have is conjecture of what you think they might have said, but you don't
well,
know.
Well, we do know from the fathers that there were Hebrew versions of the Gospels.
Okay.
But
so were the Hebrew then questions come up, were the Hebrew letters, writings first, or were the Greek ones first and then translated into the Hebrew?
Logically, it would make sense the Hebrew ones were first.
So when Ephesians was it written in Hebrew or Greek first?
Okay, Paul probably would have been writing in Greek because writing to the Gentiles.
I'm just working with what you're saying. And you're saying the first forms would have been Hebrew, but that's not the case, at least with the book of Ephesians. So are you referencing only the Gospels as written in Hebrew?
Yes, they probably would have been written originally in Hebrew. Okay. And that's what the church fathers tell us.
Do the so-called church fathers tell us that all four Gospels are written in Hebrew?
They mention a number of them. Yeah, I believe they do. At the very least, Matthew had a Hebrew version that many church fathers spoke of.
Okay. So I asked, do all four have that?
I can't say I've specifically read that all four have, but I know the church fathers talked about Hebrew versions of the original Gospels. I don't know if it's all four, but the Synoptic Gospels definitely had Hebrew versions, according to the early fathers.
Okay, so I've only ever heard of Matthew and the church fathers being written in Hebrew originally and then was converted to Greek. I've heard that. I think Papias said that. But Matthew, Mark, Luke,
John. A number
John,
of them.
Well, if you got documentation, please, provide it. That's fine.
Well, you can read the Anti-Nicene Fathers, Irenaeus.
Hold on. I said, if you have the documentation, I don't want to go do the homework for you. I don't want to read all these guys.
No, I do have it. I'm telling you what it is.
Then I'm saying, then send it to me. Send me the quotes, who said it, what it is. I can check some things out. And so, nevertheless, was the Gospel of John written in Hebrew?
Very likely. Again, I'd have to go back and look at the references, but
so you don't know So you said the Synoptics, okay, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So you excluded John. All right. So John was probably not written in Hebrew.
It probably was, but I don't know if there's evidence of that like there are for the Synoptics.
So let's just work with John for a moment. Do you have any documentation to show that John was written originally in Hebrew?
I don't know. Commercial coming up here. I hear music.
Yeah, and think about the answer when we get back. Folks, you have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Hey, we have four open lines, so why don't you give me a call? We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. I hope you're all having a good time. And if you want to give me a call, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. All right, Anthony, you're still there?
Yes.
All right, so the Gospel of John, there's no evidence of it being written in Hebrew, and yet John would call his name Jesus, so it certainly is acceptable to say that, but you don't know of an exact representation of the pronunciation of Jesus' name in Hebrew, do you?
Well, it's not does not exist anymore. But you would imagine if we were to find those original manuscripts of the Hebrew versions, it would probably say Yeshua.
Okay, so that's what you got. All right, probably say that, but you don't know for sure. Okay. All right. So is this a big deal or what?
No, it's not a big deal, but it's. I think it is, like I said, I don't believe people calling Jesus is, you know, going to lose their salvation or anything like that. I think that would be silly, but it is a fact of history that I think is important to recognize.
Why is it important?
Because it's Jesus' real name, and he...
So Jesus is not his real name?
No, it's not.
Oh, so my name's Matt. In Spanish, it's Mateo. So if I go to Mexico and I say, mi nombre es Mateo, that's not my real name?
No, I would say it's not your real name. It's a translation of your real name.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Well, I don't think your rationale is very good. I don't think it's really very conducive to helpful conversation. I don't think it really accomplishes much. I don't think you're very consistent in logic. Okay. You know, you need more evidence.
Well,
just conjecture. All right. Okay.
All right. I mean, I'm just using logic here, but I guess we can't, you know. Yeah, I am.
You're just using inference, but then the problem is, as I said, it might be that his name was pronounced in Hebrew Yeshua, but it might not be that it was pronounced that way in Hebrew. That's all I'm saying.
What? So you think Jesus was being called by a Greek name in a society where everyone spoke Hebrew and Aramaic? Is that what you believe?
Greek. And they also probably spoke Greek. What I'm saying is that you don't know the exact pronunciation in Hebrew. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's a common name. It's Joshua. It's a name that was very common at the time.
So that was his name? Was Joshua?
Well, that would be the English equivalent of his Hebrew name. So the name that Jesus
was his
had...
Name, was his name Joshua in Hebrew? Do you have
yes.
any evidence? Okay, show me some evidence that his name was, Joshua in Hebrew. Yeshua. Just show it to me. That's all. Just show it to me, and I'll go, oh, okay, great, there it is. Okay, good, no problem. Next. But sometimes I get tired of the sacred name group who say that you have to pronounce his name properly in Hebrew and you're the true God, and you're not doing that. But, when people say that they believe this is how it's done, okay, that's your opinion, but if you're going to really bring it up, then you have any documentation for that? And the answer is no. Then why are you bringing it up?
Isn't there a verse in Matthew where it says, and he was named whatever, and that which means God saves? I think that means is what. Yes, it gives the direct. It at some point in one of the Gospels, it does directly define Jesus' name as Yeshua.
And she shall bear a son. He shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's Matthew 1:21.
Right. Okay, so probably there is where the name that Jesus was given was the same as all the other Joshuas of the time.
Maybe it is. It's Yahushua or Yeshua. What's the right pronunciation? Is it Yeshua?
I am not. I don't speak Hebrew, so you'd have to ask them. But it's probably close to Yeshua.
So it could be Yeshu. It could be Yahushua. It could be Yeshua. I'm just saying, if you want to get into the proper pronunciation of his Hebrew name, which one is the right one? If you don't know, it's really not worth bringing up and asserting that any particular pronunciation or variation is the right one. That's all I'm saying. Okay?
All right. Yeah, it's not, like I said, that's probably true, but, you know.
Okay,
all right, we can just end it there.
All right, man.
All right,
thanks a lot.
Have a nice day.
You too, thanks. All right, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-220-7227. Let's get to John, I guess, in India. John, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Sergeant. That's so hot. I've been sick for the last 36 hours and flying back to Raleigh on Sunday, so I just would like to get some prayers for wellness and a safe trip.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll just lift it up. We'll have everybody, you know, just say everybody pray for John, who's coming back from India. 36-hour trip, huh?
No. So I've been sick the last 36 hours, but the trip's going to be 26.
Oh, yeah. Wow, man.
25 to get here.
I drink a lot of water.
Yeah, business trip. Yeah, that happened. As far as the Yeshua, Jesus, it's a non-essential, so so what? Right.
Yeah, there are groups that say you have to pronounce his name properly. It has to be in the Hebrew. When people say that's not the case, and this gentleman did not say that that was the case, so not a problem there. But I'm just saying, okay, if you want to get into that, then how do you know which version of the name is the right one? That's all. It's just, you know, just say, hey, there's these options, and maybe that he was called that in Hebrew by the Hebrew people. Okay, that's fine. But what we have is the Greek manuscripts, and Greek is a far more precise language than the Hebrew is. As far as writing theology goes, it's very, very efficient.
Yeah.
So
I
you're going to be
everything you do.
So how is it you're calling? How are you calling from India? How's that working? Just on your phone?
T-Mobile has call over Wi-Fi. That's one way. WhatsApp, we can get back to you on, which is free over the internet. And
but how are you doing that right now? I want to know the technology that's connected. I'm just curious. What is it right now?
So T-Mobile and AT&T have voice calling over Wi-Fi. Since I'm hooked up to the Wi-Fi of the hotel, everything goes through. And then there's an application called WhatsApp that connects all the cell phones over Wi-Fi all over the world. So, and that's a free app.
Got Wi-Fi. I mean, I got WhatsApp running, actually. I'm looking at it right now. But I didn't know you could do all that. Because we want people from all over the world to be able to call in. And that's why I was like, okay. You know, we had people say
the other thing that I found out was that T-Mobile, which is my carrier, for $5 a day, hooks you into high-speed internet and free calling internationally. And AT&T copies that for $10 a day, so you don't have to go into these silly contracts like you used to, which is great.
Wow, interesting. I'm going to look into that. You never know.
All right, Matt. Thank you.
All right, John. Hey, man. God bless. Thanks. People will be praying for you.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, folks. Four open lines, 877-207-2276. Please remember to pray for John from India. Oh, well, he's coming back from India. Coming to America. And pray for a safe travel. We'll be right back, folks, after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. It's the bottom of the hour on this wonderful Friday. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Michelle says, pray for first responders. They plan a protesting riot in Dallas, Texas tonight. So when this is something I understand, the people on the left have no problem with violence, most of them, that I've encountered, this is my opinion, that when I've talked to them and over the years, you know, do you advocate, violence, if necessary to get your way? If necessary, yes, we should. And this is a common response. I say, what about voting? Well, it doesn't go what we want. We can take it to the streets and all this stuff. And, Michelle says her husband is a first responder and there's planning to have a riot or something in Dallas. And so when the ungodly threaten to get their way, they don't believe in a democracy anymore. They want the right, in this case, to kill babies in the womb. Let me just say this, ladies and gentlemen. If you are if you're a woman, you're pregnant, and you're thinking about having an abortion, you might want to think about killing that life in you. It's alive. And if it's not human, then just ask yourself the question, is it okay to take it out of your womb and put it into the womb of a dog? Because if it's not human, it shouldn't be a problem, right? But if you say that's repulsive, then why? If it's ridiculous, then why? Is there something natural to what's growing in you that it should not be anywhere else? And of course, that's the case. And if it shouldn't be anywhere else, it belongs where it is. And do you have the right to go kill it? You just think about this. Well, Matt, you're not a woman, pregnant, raped, forced, this, incest, whatever it is. All these exceptions that they want to say proves the norm. We could talk about those particulars, but the thing is it okay to just destroy that life? The answer is no. It's not. Don't make another pay to make your life more convenient. Let's get to Colton from Florida. Hey, Colton, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, Mr. Matt?
It's going.
I just had I had a question. I was raised in the Church of Christ my entire life for about 18 years. My grandfather planted churches of Christ all around the world, and basically when I was coming up in it, they just kept emphasizing, you know, Acts 2:38 and baptism mm-hmm. all the time. So mm-hmm. when I came to my brother and I was like, "Hey, I want to, you know, give my life to Christ, submit to him." He was like, "All right, well, you know, let's go get baptized. You know, it's time for you to be baptized. That's when you're saved, or that's how you, you know, contact the Jesus' blood through the water." I don't know exactly their theology on it, but mm-hmm. the whole thing is you got to be baptized, right? You have right. to. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, were you saying something?
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so that's what they were telling me my entire life, and then just reading the Word and hearing you a lot talk about it, I guess I'm just trying to center in on there's only one gospel, right? So there's mm-hmm. one gospel, one Christ, and only one gospel that's saved. And all my family, when I said I was evangelizing and passing out tracts to, you know, repent of your sins and trust in Christ alone for salvation, they were saying that's not the gospel. You know, how are you gonna do anything without water near you or baptism near you? And they would cite a whole bunch of verses. So yeah, I guess my question, I've been praying on this for a long time, but is it a false gospel if every Church of Christ is telling you that, or they preach that you have to be baptized, immersed in water to enter, you know, the kingdom of heaven, or to be saved, or to have peace with God? You have to be baptized. What would your response to that be?
Yes, it's a false gospel.
Yeah. Dang it. Yeah, my whole family believes it, and Man, that's so tragic, but that's, yep.
Here, try this.
Yeah.
What you need to do, I would recommend you do, yeah. is, there's a couple ways. One is doctrinal, one's experiential kind of a thing. That's an illustration I've used. And the latter seems to really stick with people. But if you have anything to write with, you might want to consider writing down Romans 4:1-5. And studying
right.
on what justification is. This is for mm-hmm. you and others. They can hear this. Justification is a legal declaration of righteousness. And that's what justification is. So the Bible says, having therefore been justified by faith, Romans 5:1. So I would ask your family members, is justification a legal declaration of righteousness? They have to say yes per Romans 4. Does the Bible say we're justified by faith? Romans 5:1. They have to say yes. They'll give you all kinds of stuff. Yeah, you have to do this. But what does the text say? This is where you've got to be patient. Now, this is what I'll do with people. Well, what does it say? Once, for example, as at Colossians 2:14, which says that Christ canceled the sin debt at the cross. Not when you get baptized, not when you believe. It's another argument. And it took 20 minutes for the guy to admit, okay, it happened at the cross. 20 minutes. I told the people in the room, just watch, count, to see how long it's going to take me to get into this Christian guy to actually believe what the scriptures actually taught. And the reason that he had so much difficulty is because he's a cultist. He believed he had to do certain things, get baptized and other stuff in order to be saved. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't He couldn't just let the scripture speak. It had to be submitted to this tradition, to this false gospel. It took 20 minutes before he finally said, okay, the text says they canceled the sin debt at the cross. Okay, good, thank you. You know, it shouldn't take that long to get to this, say that. So, you know, Romans 5:1, does it say we're justified by faith? Yes. Okay, is that what it says? Okay, good. So then, are we justified by faith when we have faith? That's the question. If they say yes, they don't need baptism. If they say no, they don't believe Romans 5:1. Simple. Mm-hmm. And when the wheels come off the cart, you just wait till they're done blabbing, and you ask the same questions over and over again. Be calm, and just say, well, the Bible says this, and you're saying that you're not justified till you get dunked in water. And yet, I don't see that in the Scripture. Acts 2:38, you know, is that a formula for salvation? They'll say yes. Say, then why is faith not mentioned? And besides that, the gift of the Holy Spirit, there are the charismatic gifts. You can read that in the context because they're speaking in tongues. And in Acts 10:44 through 48, they're speaking in tongues and glorifying God. And it says they've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is in the context. And say, so you want the gift of the Holy Spirit, shouldn't you be speaking in tongues? And they don't, because the Church of Christ, you know, does that, they want nothing to do with that. So this is just stuff you can read out of Acts 2 and Acts 10, and you can just, you know, and inform them afterwards and just say politely, you know, man, you're just swinging from the wrong tree on this one, buddy, you know?
Yeah, I've tried doing it politely, but... Mm-hmm. I mean, that it's been their entire lifestyle, you know, for 50 and 60 years is what they believe, so.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Man, it's just, it's so sad, though. Man, it's so sad. I also have just one.
Well, let me give an illustration, a follow-up illustration, and this one you can use with them. And, I got it before the break here. So, you know, I've used this before, and it's a serious illustration. It's crawling up the hill towards the cross and the dirt and the mud, and you won't look up because it's the place of Christ, and blood is trickling down that wood, and it's mixing in the dirt and it's flowing down towards where you are, and as you begin to see it and approach it, you stop. This is the place of incredible holiness and sacrifice, and that's it. That's where salvation occurred. And you won't go any further because you're in the presence of such greatness and love and sacrifice and suffering. And you hear the footsteps of someone approaching, and they pass you up, their heads down low. And they go up to that cross and they nail a certificate of their own baptism. And they nail it to that cross. And then they humbly walk back. And then what they want to do is have that baptism and the death of Christ merit their salvation. And just ask them. Just ask them if that's the case. You know? It's an illustration.
Yeah.
Okay? All right.
Definitely. Do I have time for a quick question, or do you have to break?
Sure. Break. Okay. Music's not on yet.
Okay, cool. So one thing was that I heard that... I don't know if it's true, but I heard Martin Luther held to baptismal regeneration, but also was, you know, the big faith alone.
Yes.
So how did that kind of go together?
I'll tackle that when we get back in the break, because I went to a Lutheran college.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned, and hopefully it'll be continuing to be entertaining. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome to the show. Welcome back, I should say. Colton, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
All right, so, my question was about Martin Luther and proclaiming faith alone, you know, him always trying to find out how can man be right with God, you know, his sinful self and the penance system, indulgences and all that, I guess. But he came out, you know, Mm-hmm. And faith alone in Christ, that's all you need. Faith is sufficient. That's it.
Right.
And then I also hear that he held to baptismal regeneration. You know, you have to be baptized. So I was wondering.
Let me explain. So I went to a Lutheran college, and this issue came up. And I didn't go to Lutheran college because I was Lutheran. It was just because of convenience and some stuff. And I could never get a satisfactory answer. And Rod Rosenblatt was my professor. He may have given me a great answer. I don't remember it. He was a great professor, a Lutheran guy. From what I understood, the best that I can recollect, and hopefully that's not incorrect, is that you're justified by faith alone in Christ alone, but baptism is a means of grace, and that it can be administered to infants, and ex opere operata, by the doing it is done, and that by baptizing an infant, for example, then he's functionally, or she is functionally justified before God because of that sacerdotal or sacramental system. So they hold to a sacramental system similar to Roman Catholicism, where the sacrament is actually, or the baptism is actually a means by which grace is worked upon. Now, in Catholicism, it's actually infused into the soul, paragraph 1999 of the Catholic Catechism, but that's not the case in Lutheranism. So they don't believe that grace is a substance that can be infused, but that the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper are a means by which God is more gracious to you. And so in that, they connect this with salvation and baptism. And I remember going, wait a minute, this doesn't quite make sense. And I could never get a good answer from them. So that's what I'll just kind of leave it with, is like, they don't teach it, but they imply it, but they don't teach it.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, then that's the answer I'll take for now, and I'll, you know, keep studying, trying to find something. But, yeah my main thing was just about the gospel and them mm-hmm. telling people that you have to be baptized.
Well, what they're saying...
you answered...
Yeah, when someone says you have to be baptized to be saved, let's say then... So I ask them, is water baptism by immersion necessary for salvation? They'll say yes. Necessary means there's no exception, right? That's correct. So all babies who die go to hell, right? The man on the deathbed with the tubes everywhere, can't get immersed in water, receives Christ, trusts in Christ, he goes to hell too, right? So you're not justified by faith, are you? Okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, the only things they come back with are like, do you believe in God's providence? You know, if that person truly believes, then God will provide and make a way for them to get baptized. And yeah, it's just
show
not
me
really
that in scripture.
Good argument at all.
Show me that in scripture.
That's what I think you're about to
say. That's right. Show that to me in scripture, where he's going to provide a way for them to be baptized. Show that to me in the Word of God. They say stuff, but they don't know the Word. Have you seen my debate with that Church of Christ guy I did 10 years ago or so? I didn't know where it was going to be filmed. I thought we would go over to the house and discuss. I was with... Ray Comfort's group, and down in Bellflower, California, and they go, hey, you want to do a little debate discussion? Sure. And it was impromptu, and I go over there in my t-shirt, basically, and then I go, oh, it's going to be a real thing. So that's why I'm dressed like that. But we had a discussion, and let's just say that guy did not do well.
Yeah, if it's on YouTube, I'll have to go check that out right now. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think YouTube, Matt Slick versus Kernan? Baptist, but, you know. I forgot. You'll have to see. Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Definitely. Right, thank you so much, Mr. Matt, for all your help. Thank you for your answers. I hope you have a blessed rest of your day.
Oh, thank you. I certainly need it. May the Lord bless you, too. All right, Colton.
Bye.
Okay. All right, let's get to Gary from Utah. Gary, welcome. You are on the air.
I finally got back. I had to restart my phone.
That's all
not
right.
A very good phone. Hey, I really like Ray Comfort. I watch his Living Waters. I'm subscribed to that. That's an awesome. They got stuff to great videos.
Yeah.
I was going to mention to you, I just saw it just a while ago on the Attorney General from Missouri. They were the first state to overturn Roe versus Wade. So now it gives new meaning to the word the show me state. Maybe they'll show everybody else.
Yeah.
So now it's going to go state by state. See?
That's right. That's what it is. The states are going to now determine. That's how it's supposed to be by the Constitution. And the stupid leftists who don't care about the Constitution and want to use violence to get their way to impose violence on others in the womb, boy, they're just evil people.
Yeah. It's funny because they think they're going to bully the Supreme Court justices, and that's actually against the law. There's a lot of the red states are standing strong against that kind of thing, meaning like, hey, you can't just go and bully them at their home. That's not okay. You know?
That's right. Yeah, I'm looking at someone in the chat said something, but it made me look at something insane. Maxine Waters pretty much calls for insurrection based on this. What's going on?
Oh, I know.
These people are evil. They're evil. They kill babies in the womb. Gosh.
Yeah, she is definitely going to face God's judgment and wrath like she never could dream, and it's not going to be pretty. I look at this, Matt, and I'm thinking, you know how God, you know how in the Bible how it says the same storm and the rain that falls among the unjust can fall upon the just, which obviously, you know, that means we can get sick, we can die too. But at the same time, we've got kind of a nice advantage because many times God will protect us where he will not protect those. When we get God involved, he can change, if he decides to, he can change the plans and protect us from sure death. And those people don't have that because they're not saved.
Yeah, they're not in the service of the evil one, or of the true one. They're in the service of the evil one, and it's bad. In fact, I'm reading what she says. You ain't seen nothing yet. She said, women are going to control their bodies no matter how they try and stop us. And that's a misrepresentation of the issue. We don't say you can't control your own body. We're saying you can't kill the body of another. Because they're talking about the baby. And they misrepresent the argument. These lying pieces of, you know what? They lie about this stuff. Yeah, I have a thing about children. I'm very protective of children in the womb, out of the womb, extremely protective. And it just angers me when people misrepresent the argument to make it sound like their position is right. I challenge the very best publicly. I challenge the very best pro-abortionist to a public debate on these issues. And let's see. Yeah. We'll agree on a topic and we'll go. But they won't do it. But you're right, Bill. Maxine is a moron. That's right. So is Biden, and so is Kamala, and so is Pelosi. She says, I'm not going to say it over the air, but to H-E double toothpicks with the Supreme Court. This is what she says. She's supposed to be a representative, and she says this about the Supreme Court. She said, so is that not insurrection? Of course it is. She said, we will defy them. Women will be in control of their bodies. And if they think black women are intimidated or afraid, you can get another thought coming. Black women will be, and she's a racist too, will be out in droves, she continues. Yeah. We'll be out of the thousands, by the millions. We're going to make sure. Oh, man. Why is she not running up on charges? Matt, that's insurrection.
Hypocrites. I love the way you're putting that, Matt. You know what? It's like my favorite pastor, David Jeremiah, preached when he preached about socialism and how it goes against the Bible. He says, when everything is racist, nothing is racist.
That's right.
It is just sickening. These people are so demonic. I mean, people are showing their true colors. The demons are showing through. And we know we're fighting against rulers in high places that are evil, of course. Boy, this is going to be something when God's wrath comes and his vengeance, you know?
Yeah. It is.
That's the word.
But you know, I think now it's time to pray imprecatorily. That means to pray the imprecations of God's judgment upon the wicked. This is what happens in Psalms, and the prayers and worship of God. The psalmist would pray for destruction of the unbelievers and the for their destruction. People right now are going to be saying, "But Matt, you should not pray for that. This is the New Testament." Really?
Right.
Because it says, and I'm looking for it right now, it's in one of the epistles, to pray. It says, you talk to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Ephesians 5:19. That means in the New Testament, the psalms are applicable.
Yeah, that does make sense. Let me ask you one more thing, because I know you got about 4 minutes before your music comes on. One last thing. You know the part where I'm not sure where we probably never know because God does it. But you know how in the Bible where God says, it's like in the end where it says, God will send them a great delusion where they cannot believe. So we don't know when that time is because it can be different for different people, right? That's like the same as reprobate mind.
Yes, but the context is, I think it's 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2, send, let's see, a send, yeah, where is it? Yeah, there it is. Verse 11. Okay. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence. Well, what's the reason? And the reason is that the apostasy is coming first, and the lawlessness will be revealed with all deception, wickedness, those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. So for this reason, they didn't receive the truth. They wouldn't want to believe in God. God sends a deluding influence, so they'll believe what is false. And so what is false is, is my body. If it's your body, then you have two heads, four arms, and four legs. And
you know what, Matt? They won't even say the word baby. They say fetus, but fetus is Latin for baby, you know?
Yeah, but it's because it has a connotation. See, when you're up at 30,000 feet dropping bombs on the enemy, they're just the enemy. It's a word they use to take away the humanity of the people you're destroying. The same thing occurs here. It's just a fetus. It's not a baby. You see, you know, I call them womb scrapers. I call them.
Oh boy.
Oh yeah, I call them baby killers. Oh, I have a discussion with them. I mean, I'm polite, but I amp up the flame on them a little bit as we're talking, and I say, you want to kill that life in the womb. What's the reason you want to kill it? Kill it, because it's definitely killing. And I said, what has it done to you? Oh, it's not human. It isn't? Well, what is it then? Well, we don't know what it is, but we know what it is not. Then how do you know what it is not? How do you know what it is or is not? If you don't know what it is, you can't say what it isn't. The only thing you can say is, it's not human. How do you know? It's in a human body with human life, and yet it's not human. The stupidity and the asininity of their reasoning is profound. And I'll ask them, at what point does a non-human become human in the womb? Oh, it doesn't. It becomes human at birth. I've had them say that. So this nature changes through the birth canal? What you're saying? Because
that's because they're reading from they're reading from the Book of Moronicles. That's what they're reading from the Book of Moronicles.
Yeah, written by NRC and some of these liberal wacko morons and Margaret Sanger, who was a racist. And it's one of the things that gets me going is anything to do with children, and makes me very upset very quickly.
Well, keep this in mind as we get ready to go. Remember, God says He's not going to spare those who shed innocent blood. He's going to
punish them big time. That's right. And if anyone has, let me tell you before we go, folks. Go to Christ. Okay. Go to Jesus. He'll forgive you of all of it. All of it. And you'll be free in Jesus.
Thank you, man. Christ.
You need Jesus. God bless, buddy. All right, Gary. Hey, folks, we are out of here. May the Lord bless you by His grace. Back on here on Monday. And pray for our country. We'll talk to you later, folks. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.